Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast with your host, Stephen Rudin. If you are a regular listener to BBE, you know I am always searching high and low to speak to artists and educators of the arts who want to share their stories, their POVs, and their beliefs about the arts. I've been really lucky to have people from all facets of the work that we do on the pod, and I'm so excited for today's guest because his path has really been so cool, and I'm so thrilled for him because I've known him for a long time, and I just think it's a great success story about how to make a career in the arts when you're not quite sure which road to take. So I'm super excited to welcome my friend and fellow artist, Griffin Spriggs, to Big Broadway Energy. Welcome, Griffin.
Hi.
It's so good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
As I mentioned in my intro, BBE is not just about actors. It's about everybody who does this crazy stuff. It's about like an inclusive experience. And my goal is to introduce the Gen Pop, the non-theater Gen Pop, to all the different opportunities in the arts and what those opportunities are for young people. And Griffin, you are like a professional stage manager.
You could say that.
You can say that. I did say that. It is, in my opinion, it is one of, if not the most important job in the theater. I think people have no idea the stress, the pressure, the fun, the fear, the timing. And I have never been in a professional tour or on Broadway. I've been in a lot of regional shows. I've been in a lot of community theater. I started my own theater company. And I got to tell you, I've never been in a production where the stage manager wasn't the hardest working person. Before we get into what a stage manager is, I love that you started as an actor in community theater when you were a little kid. That's when I first met you. We were doing Hello Dolly at St. Pete City Theater.
Yes, we were.
All those years ago. And you were this funny, earnest little kid. And I thought you were so great and I loved your energy and I knew you were going to do something great with your life. You just sort of know. I've been an educator for a few years and I can sort of see that in people, especially when they're young, that there's something special about this human. It's going to do something great. They're not going to end up being an accountant if they don't want to be an accountant, right? You know, you started as an actor, but your path in the arts, it was a different path. Let's talk a little bit about your path to stage management. How did you find stage management?
I was at St. Pete City Theater. I was in their education program. I aged out of it. They were like, well, do you want to stick around and do this thing called stage managing? I had heard the older kids tell themselves that they were stage managers for art shows. I was like, sure, I'll do it. The first show I think I'd stage managed was Peter Pan Jr. I had no idea what I was doing. The week before it started, I Googled, what is a stage manager? And I just found a whole bunch of resources of, I need this book, I need this book, I need this book. And I was like, what did I get myself into? And so I did that camp. It went well. They're like, you have to call the show. And I was like, what does that mean? I've never heard of that because the other people I'd worked with that were stage managers weren't doing that.
Right.
The internet was telling me I have to call the show, watch videos on that. And I kind of just fell in love with it. I kind of stayed in this world of like being an actor and a stage manager for a while all through high school. And then eventually I kind of took off my actor hat. And when I went to college, I focused on stage managing. I was able to stage manage productions in college as the assistant stage manager and then started just applying for jobs after graduation.
Let's talk a little bit about truly like what a stage manager is. And I've had a few people on the podcast and I'm like, tell people what this is. They're like, people know what it is. I'm like, no, in fact, they don't. Because I have a lot of family who, without me, my family would be the least cultured family in the world. So they'll come and they'll be like, what does a director do versus a producer? But we had to like teach each other and learn. Yeah. But like, what does a stage manager do for people that have never been in a show?
So a stage manager is the liaison. They, in rehearsals, they're with the actors from the beginning all the way through closing night. They'll talk between production and design people who are designing the sets you see, the costumes you see, the lights, letting them know what happens in rehearsal, taking down blocking notes, like where actors move and all of that in case someone new comes in. And then once we get into shows, the director pieces out. Their job is done.
Right.
And it's on the stage manager to keep the show fresh, to keep it actors going where they're supposed to be going, and then making sure that the show happens the exact same way every night. So if you go see a show, my job is to be invisible and not to let you know that I'm there, if that's how I know I've done a good job. So they're calling light cues, they're calling sound cues, they're calling set changes. And calling is like letting them actually go and telling them when to do it.
Give them the green light.
Once they're in shows, they're doing schedules, weekly schedules, daily schedules, rehearsing in the daytime. They're always working on something.
It's true. When I really understood it was when I, you know, when I direct shows and now this theater company I've started, I really understand the stage manager is, you know, to your point, when the director piece is out and the stage manager, it's their show, basically. Yeah. Once the show opens or whatever, that's what they say. I could not have run rehearsals without my stage.
Yeah.
And I had a show with two people in
yeah.
it. You're currently in the second national tour. You're ASMing the second national tour of Hadestown. It has a few more than two people in it.
Yeah. Has about 17, 13 on stage each night.
And if you've never seen Hadestown, I encourage you to go either on Broadway. It's still playing on Broadway. If you can get to New York and see it, if you can catch the tour, it's going to be back on tour after this summer. You can check it out. But it is such a fascinating show. I remember thinking to myself, when it was going on, because there's so much happening and there's so much visual and there's so much like stuff happening on the stage. The stage moves. There's so much stuff going on. And the show was great. I saw it with the original cast. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. But I thought to myself, this is a very hardworking stage manager.
Yeah. And the Broadway show has three. Mine has two.
You're so doing the work of at least one and a half people. Like,
correct.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So how did you get when you told me, or when you put it on Facebook, I guess, or some social media site, I was so incredibly happy for you. You said earlier you were just applying for a bunch of jobs, and then we have all done that. We've all gone on playable.com. We've all applied for a bunch of jobs we don't think we're qualified for. And unlike most of us, you got a call back.
I did.
So tell me how that happened.
I was just back on playable.com at the when I was working at the Straz, because I was in between calls. I applied for the job. I sent a resume. That's all they asked for. And then within a week, I had gotten this email from someone named Molly Goodwin, who was like, hi, I'm the PSM of Hadestown, and this person sent you your resume to me, and I would like to interview you. And I was like, is this a scam?
Real.
Is this real? And so I quickly emailed back. I was like, yeah. What? She's like, are you free on Saturday? It was a Friday. Are you free tomorrow? And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
So I hopped on a FaceTime with her. I was sitting on the Tampa Riverwalk on lunch at the Straz Center, talking to this woman who was, quote unquote, the production stage manager of Hadestown.
Right.
Asking me all of these questions. And then the interview ended. I went back to work. And then like within a week, I got a call from this New York number. And he was like, hi, I'm Christian from RCI. And we'd like to offer you the job of assistant stage manager from Hadestown. And I was like, you want to, what? It was just a shot in the dark because it was like another job. I was like, yeah, I'm applying for it.
Sure.
Not going to get it.
Of course.
Nobody knows who I am.
Of course.
I only have like UF credits and local community theater credits from here. They're not going to take me seriously. And they did. And here I am.
What do you think it was? Because I know you and I knew you'd have been you'd be great at this job. But if like, I think of this a lot, you know, just applying for any jobs nowadays, it's like there's so much AI involved in like pulling resumes. And like, do you really get a human reading your resume? Like, what do you think it was about your experience that gave you the opportunity to do this cool gig?
I think I had stepped in so many different baskets in theater that I had on my resume that I was like, I had dabbled in sound, I had dabbled in lighting, I had dabbled in wardrobe, I had dabbled in all of these different areas just because I had to for college or because I was interested in it a few years ago, that I think it kind of caught the attention of them, of the people. And I also had, you know, pretty large shows on my resume just from college alone that they were like, well, if he can do these shows in college, I'm sure he can probably do this.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It really is cool. I mean, I remember moving to New York when I was 18 years old and went to fancy theater school, that nonsense that people think it really matters. And I remember auditioning and sending resumes and applying for any job I could because, you know, you're just so hungry, not only for income, but you're hungry for like a thing. You want to be part of a thing, right? And it's so hard to believe that sometimes it actually works out. And sometimes you can get what you want if you work hard enough and you just like throw it against the wall and hope it sticks. And sometimes it sticks.
It does.
So let's talk a little bit about sort of like the life of someone on tour.
Sure.
Because obviously actors, I know a lot of people that have been on tour, you know, it's a very fascinating thing. I've never done a long tour. Talk to us a little bit about like what goes into a tour stop and like what, like were you ready for what it was? Like was there any surprises? Like tell us about that experience.
I thought I was ready for what it was. I was not. We are a bus and truck tour, so that means a lot of our travel is on a bus. I travel with the crew who travel on a sleeper bus. So there's 12 bunks that we all have that are our own, kind of like when you think of a concert or a famous person traveling for their tour, the same bus. The cast and band will travel on a regular upright during the day. Well, depending on how long we're in the city, some days we'll pull into the city, get off the sleeper bus, load the show in, do the show, load it out, get back on the sleeper bus and drive to the next city overnight. Sometimes we're lucky enough where we're sitting down for a week. We just closed in Chicago, so we were there for 2 weeks. So we left our last stop on the sleeper bus, got off, and then we had a hotel room for 2 weeks. Sometimes we fly. It just depends on how far the city is from the last venue and if we can get there in enough time. And then also we have to keep in mind of like how long it takes our set to get there. But yeah,
that's a different truck.
Because that's a different truck. That's usually multiple trucks. They're all working together. Yeah, it's crazy trying to set up a life where you don't have a permanent spot, where you're moving so frequently and trying to get into routines. And
it's like impossible to.
It's kind of impossible. I kind of got a hold of it by the end. But, you know, waking up and not knowing where I am is a completely random feeling. I was like, okay, is this Iowa? Is this Indiana? What state am I in?
What is this? There's lots of corn.
There's lots of corn.
I know that.
Where? Is this sometimes they're college campuses, which is great, and then I'll have to order like McDonald's or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it was crazy.
How often in a city are you doing just one night? Are there certain, like the bigger cities have more than one night? Are you doing lots of one night stops?
I don't think we were a lot, but I, you know, this was my first tour. I think there were maybe like 20-ish one night stops.
Okay.
Other than that, it might have been like a two night stop or like two shows or a weekend and like Tuesdays through Thursdays and then a Friday through a Sunday. But yeah, the bigger markets like Minneapolis, Detroit, Dallas, Chicago, we were there for.
Some people have told me like they hate the tours because like there's just this feeling of like not being able to get away from people. And then some people have told me like they have created real families on these tours. Like because it's your first time, like what's been your experience about like, is it just coworkers or do you feel more bonded to these people?
Oh no, I feel bonded to these people.
Yeah.
We've spent every day together for the last 8 months. They've seen me at my worst.
Sure.
They see me at my best. They're some of the greatest people I've met. We really lucked out. Like, we didn't have too much drama on the road this year. I think it was because of the show, because the show requires so much of everybody's emotional investment every night that when we're not doing the show, we don't want to be upset. We don't want to be upset with each other. We don't want to be fighting because it's such an emotional roller coaster for everybody involved, whether you're playing Orpheus or whether you're, you know, running the flies, that like when we're not doing the show, we're all just happy and having a good time.
I love that. For people that have not seen Hadestown, let's do a quick summary. Like, what are people going to expect if they see Hadestown?
It intertwines two Greek mythologies, the story of Orpheus and Eurydice and the story of Hades and Persephone. It's based in this like folky New Orleans jazz kind of music. And you don't have to come in knowing anything about Greek mythology. The first time I saw it, I was like, I don't know this story at all.
I was the same way. I was so worried about that. And I actually didn't see it for a while because I was like, I should educate myself. And they do such a great job of like letting you know what's going on.
It's entirely sung through, kind of like, you know, your Les Mis, your Hamiltons. And yeah, it tells this tragic love story of these two conflating people who try to fall in love with each other and live a life. And does it work out?
And along the way, there is this very cool narrator, so to speak, right? Who sort of is this entity. Everyone's sort of a god in the show. Yeah. What I love about that role is that it kind of takes like the Greek chorus. It takes the narrator. It takes all these different forms. And there's men and women have played the role. I love how when they come out and just kind of, they're kind of like catching people up. So in case you're like, wait, what just happened? I just love how there's this nice, you know, narration of like, okay, you didn't miss anything. Here's really what's going on.
Here's what happened.
Right.
I did this.
It's just a brilliantly crafted show. I love that you're getting sort of your feet wet on a show that is so complicated. Because again, like based on your earlier point, the more you do these kinds of things, the more people like, no, Griffin can handle it. I just love your story because it's a lot like mine. You know, I thought I was going to be a professional actor too, and it's all I ever wanted to do. But real life happens and you have to stay in the arts and you want to stay in the arts. And that's how I found casting. I really love that you found your voice in a way that feels so authentic to you, because before you went on tour, I got to see you sort of SMing a local show. And I was like, oh, he's kind of like in his element.
Yeah.
It really is fun to see you like so in your element. Yeah, it feels really good. And I kind of love that too, because it reminds all of us and all the parents that might be listening, and rightfully so, a lot of parents, my parents included, were trying to deter me from life in the arts. They're like, we know it's who you are and it's what you want to do, but it's so hard. And how are you going to make a living and blah, 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 blah. I was a little kid and young kid and, you know, I wasn't going to take no for an answer, but they weren't wrong in that it is a very hard road. But like, it's not impossible to make a career in the arts.
It's not impossible. No, it's going to take a thick skin, but it'll happen if you want it to, if you make it happen. It's all about your energy and all of that kind of stuff. It was hard to send these resumes left and right and be like, I'm never going to hear from these people again. Or I'm going to get an email and be like, meh, we're going with someone else. Especially knowing these were like union jobs that sure. I was not a part of. Wondering if they were going to look at it. But eventually I was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing this until something finally sticks. And I honestly had forgotten I even applied for this job when I applied for it, because it was just like just another resume that I was sending. So
right.
It's possible. It's scary for sure, not knowing where your next paycheck will come from. But if it's meant for you, if you know that's the only thing that you can do, then it'll happen.
And it's rewarding.
It's very rewarding.
It really is rewarding once it does happen. So the tour is sort of a little hiatus now. You're going to do a summer gig and you're going back on tour in the fall?
Yes.
And back. What's that contract like?
There isn't an official start date yet because we don't know how much we're going to need to rehearse. Since a lot of the people from last year are coming back, they don't necessarily think that we're going to need the full 3 weeks like we had this time. It'll be sometime in September. I will pick back up in New York for rehearsals. We'll move to Owensboro, Kentucky for tech. We're there for about a week and a half, and then we hit the road, and we're there through June next year.
Wow.
So we'll have like a little 2 week break at Christmas, and then we'll have a 1 week break sometime in the springish, doing it all over again.
Oh man, that's so exciting. Listen, do it now when you have the time and there's no one holding you down or
right.
back, you know,
yeah.
It's like, this is your time to do whatever you want. So it's like, so exciting. I'm so happy for you. I'm super happy for your
Thank
success.
You.
And I know it's just going to continue to work for you and thrive. So
Thank you.
Congratulations. Before I let you go, last question I ask all my guests, what does art mean to you?
Ooh. It means community. Mm. Like every time I think of art, it's the people first, before anything, before the performance that we did, before all the rehearsal period. It's when I think of shows, past shows, I think of the people from those shows before I think of the actual show itself, or how mad I was at one point in it, or upset or happy or whatever. So art is community to me.
It's true. I agree. And I am so thankful that we have such a strong community here in Tampa Bay. And
yes.
We continue to sort of really produce incredible talent who go out and do amazing things
yeah.
in the world.
It's a small community of Tampa Bay artists up there in the city. There's so many of
there
them.
There are so many. Yeah. I have plenty of friends who are from here. We have a great arts elementary, middle school, and high school here. And they're all doing their thing in New York City. It's really, we're like a little breeding ground.
Yeah, the assistant choreographer for this tour is from here and went to my high school. And I was like, I know that we know the same people. It was crazy.
So cool. I love that. Thanks again, Griffin. Best of luck to you. And thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. If you are a listener of the Big Broadway Energy radio show, we have a new time slot. We were at 10 p.m. on Sundays. We've been moved to 5 p.m. on Sundays, a little more prime time action. So I hope that you can tune in and enjoy some great Broadway hits and some juicy Broadway tidbits. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on my show, please email me at bigbroadwayenergy, all one word, at gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, keep creating. Bye, everybody.